Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Thursday. My friends, as I always say on this program, all is not what you are being told. You are being led to believe that the adults are back in the room. That now that we have gotten rid of all of the riffraff, that would be the conservatives, the real people, the real negotiators are going to fix this whole budget situation. And they were capable of doing that. In fact, they slapped it together in one day. Let's just think about this logically for a moment. Where we started this whole joint conference committee nonsense is $1.129 billion apart. What I mean by that is the House of Representatives and the Senate were $1.129 billion apart. In Wyoming terms, that's a gigantic amount of money. That's the biggest difference between the two chambers ever in Wyoming history. And there were major disagreements between the two houses. One of those biggies was capital construction, building schools. That bill got defeated on the floor of the House of Representatives. And then, magically, it appeared in the budget. The budget is for the day-in and day-out operations of the state of Wyoming. It's not for big, gigantic capital construction projects. Those are supposed to be brought in an individual bill so that they can be debated on the merits. But wouldn't you know, those items are now back in the budget after they were defeated in the Senate. One of the results of Ogden Driscoll pulling his original joint conference committee, that of Troy McEwen, Senator Dave Kinski, Senator Anthony Bouchard, Senator Dan Larson, and Senator Tim Salazar, and replacing them with the most liberal members of the Wyoming Senate. You don't think this was a plan from the very beginning, do you? Kind of smells like it to me. Yesterday, I sat down with Senator Troy McEwen to talk about all of these things. It's a great discussion, and I'm going to bring it to you in just a second. But first, a matter of some personal importance to me. Allow me to preface this by saying that all actions have consequences. We make choices, and then we have to live with the results of those choices. And in my world, some things garner more of my attention than others. I have the usual suspects that require a lot of my attention, namely people like Steve Harshman, Albert Sommers, Clark Stith, and of course, Bolshevik Poisonberry Crago. And then there are other redcoats, lower-level Democrats that are still hiding in the Republican Party and still telling their constituents that they're conservative when they're absolutely not. Sometimes those kind of escape my attention a little bit. It's not because I'm ignoring them. I'm certainly not. They're just not as high profile as some of the others. But when those Democrats that can't spell make a really dumb decision, it has the result of focusing my attention like a laser beam on them. The latest lowbrow Democrat that can't spell that has focused my attention directly on them is Representative Martha Lawley. In an email to a constituent, Representative Martha Lawley referred to me by name and called me a liar. And I quote, attached is the letter from the director of the Department of Revenue that corrects the incorrect facts. You might be interested to know that most of the Freedom Caucus voted for introduction of House Bill 45 yesterday. It is disappointing that salacious rumors spread so quickly. David Iverson started these unfounded rumors. I respectfully request that you please use some discretion before repeating such slanderous statements. End quote. Okay, Martha Lawley is referring to the episode where I exposed the Department of Revenue for training the Wyoming County Assessors Association on House Bill 45. They're not rumors. They're facts, Martha. First, the letter from Brenda Hansen to the Freedom Caucus, John Barrett, Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams, did not correct anything. It was merely an excuse for what they did. If you had read that letter, Martha Lawley, you would know that. But since you obviously haven't read Brenda Henson's response, I've put it on the show content page at cowboystatepolitics.com. You can clearly see how it doesn't explain or expose anything that I said that wasn't true. Because I didn't say anything that wasn't true, Martha Lawley. As you can clearly read for yourself, Director Brenda Henson basically admits to what she did in her response to Representative Bear and Representative Rodriguez-Williams. And, for your reference, I've also posted the letter from Representative John Bear and Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams to Brenda Henson about her training of the Wyoming County Assessors Association. This is what these redcoats do all of the time. They don't tell the truth to their constituents. Unlike you, Representative Martha Lawley, I back up everything I say with facts and data, and I post them on the internet for everyone to see. So, Representative Martha Lawley, you have a couple of choices here. You can either issue a public apology to me for calling me a liar today, or I might even give you to the beginning of next week. Or B, I'm going to FOIA request every one of your emails that concerns me, House Bill 45, and all of your communications with Brenda Henson, the Department of Revenue, and anybody that you corresponded with about the training of the Wyoming County Assessors Association, the fast-tracking of House Bill 45, and anything else that I can get my hands on, and I'm going to publish it in your district. But since I'm a reasonable man, an apology will do just fine, Representative Martha Lawley. Oh, and by the way, I've also posted your email to that constituent. I've taken the liberty of redacting the names, you know, protect the innocent and all. I'll see you in the Capitol today, Martha. Heart. Okay, now that all that unpleasantness is behind us, I've got a great interview with Senator Troy McEwen. Here it is. Joining me on the program is Senator Troy McEwen from Gillette. Troy, first time on the program.
I think it is.
It is. How you been?
Good. It's been an interesting session, for sure.
Well, I think interesting is a different word for it. Well, first, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
I'm Troy McEwen. I'm out of Senate District 24, which is pretty much the center of Gillette. I own two grocery stores, one in Gillette, one in Wright. I've been there 17 years, and I've been here 4 years, looking forward to a campaign coming up this summer.
Probably feels like 10 years, doesn't it?
Days it does.
Well, for a little while, you were on the Budget Joint Conference Committee. So my first question is, how did you end up there? I mean, Ogden's not exactly, I didn't picture him picking three really conservative people, but how'd you end up there?
I think when we did the budget, the Senate position on the budget, we cut about 770-some-odd million dollars out of it. So it was a pretty conservative product that we put out. So I think you pick conservative people to go down and defend it.
Well, one of the things that was fascinating this session is the House had spent a whole pile of money, and then I'd get a message from over in the Senate, nope, they just cut it. You know, so you guys are way more conservative than the House.
Well, once again, we cut about $774 million out of the initial budget, while the House added $362 million, which put us at a difference of $1.1 billion, which is the largest difference in a budget discussion ever in the state of Wyoming.
Both sides pass a budget, and then we go into what's called a joint conference committee. How does that whole thing work?
Basically, this go-around, the House put out their position, which, in my opinion, and I think I have the stuff to back it up, they weren't willing to cut anything they put in. We came back with our proposals, and they just got mad and left.
That's it?
That's it. We can't work with you.
Well, they didn't even really try, because it didn't last more than, I think it was, what, a Thursday? They gave you their proposal, and then you guys took the weekend, and then...
And I would call it Friday. We got it Thursday evening.
Okay.
We went through it. There were some issues with school capital construction. We were looking at that, and then we had an executive session scheduled Monday morning on what we can and can't do with school capital construction and talking about some of the lawsuits going on with the lawyers. So we waited to finalize our position until after we did talk, spoke with them, and then we gave them our proposal on Tuesday.
Okay. And that really didn't go anywhere, did it?
No. They took a look at it and said, we can't work with you.
Amazing. So one of the reasons I wanted to visit with you is it was shortly thereafter that President Driscoll pulled the entire conference committee and started over. And I don't really understand how that went down or how it's supposed to work. So could you enlighten us on that?
I want to go back to the budget for just a second.
Sure.
What we saw happen this time, it was kind of unprecedented also. There were many spending bills that got voted down, and then they just re-added them to the budget. CapCon is one of them. It died on the House floor, and they put it back in the budget. So you got to ask yourself, why'd they even take a vote on it?
Exactly right. And there was a big debate over in the House when they killed the capital construction bill. And one of the arguments was the schools that you want to build aren't even really anywhere close to the top of the list.
I'm on the Special Schools Facility Committee.
That sounds fun.
The two high schools we looked at, Campbell County is at number 54 right now, and Rock Springs is in the 30s.
Well, the Campbell County High School, that one's old. We're talking about the one downtown, right?
Yes. What we've done is, after we spoke with the lawyers, our plan out of the Senate was to complete the Mercer studies and get a list of priorities. And needless to say, the Mercer studies are going on right now. Last year, during the supplemental, we gave them $100 million to go out and figure this out. And as we went through the budget process this year, they had $95 million left, and they hadn't even spent the $5 million was set aside for the Mercer studies, and that's sort of appropriated and sort of being used, and they'll finish that up when they get the studies back. But my point, I did the school CapCon portion in the JCC for the Senate. We have established laws and procedures for how we select and build schools. And it appeared they wanted to operate outside that procedure. They wanted to start scheduling schools before the Mercer studies were done. And I just had a problem with that. I had two problems with it. One, CapCon and school CapCon doesn't belong in the budget.
Okay, why is that?
The budgetary process is for the normal, ordinary, daily use of government activity.
Okay, so just year over year, normally what we do with government. No big projects or anything.
Right. And the big projects should come in the form of a bill. Yeah, that's how I read the rules. So, but we were okay. We said, fine, you got it in here. Let's talk about it. And our position was, let's finish the Mercer studies. Let's figure out who should get what. Should the school be refurbished or should it be rebuilt? Should they get a new one? We can't tell in the JCC what school's in what shape. And frankly, most of us aren't qualified to judge that.
Right.
That's why we do the Mercer study.
Well, I know. Let's just talk about the school in Campbell County just for a minute. I mean, that's the same high school that was there when I was in high school. And that was 25 years ago. Well, more than that. And it was, at that time, it was still one of the older schools.
It still is, yeah. It needs some help. It either needs a complete remake on the sewer system. It's got problems with the air conditioning and the heating. And frankly, maybe it would be cheaper to build a new school.
But it's the Mercer. Is it MRSA or Mercer?
Mercer.
Okay, so it's the Mercer study that determines whether or not Campbell County needs a new high school or Sheridan or whatever.
And the Mercer stands for most cost-effective relief.
Okay.
It's MCER. And they basically come out and they say, we can fix this school, or we need to rebuild the school, or we need to build a new school, however you want to word that. And I would just like us to get back to the purity of following the process. We always say, trust the process.
Oh, I've heard that phrase so many times this session.
There were a couple people back a little while ago who decided they weren't going to follow the process. And as you know, we got four districts in a lawsuit right now against the state of Wyoming. We've done such a poor job on this that our own school districts are suing the state.
I know that whole situation is just a mess. It's like we have rules and policies and laws in place. And I've done a couple of stories this session where they're just flat not following the law or the policies or the procedures.
Yeah, once again, let's throw anything we lost on the floor into the budget.
That's certainly what they've done, and I've got a couple sound bites where that's exactly what people have said.
I mean, I go back to Capital Construction was defeated in the House, and yet there it is in the bill.
Just magically shows up.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the Joint Conference Committee for just a minute. You were on there for a few days, and I wasn't able to watch this whole thing go down in the House, but I did watch it on YouTube. So what happened there?
We basically came back. We can use Capital Construction and School Construction for a point of argument or display of what happened. We cut it in the Senate because it didn't get done the way it's supposed to get done via the Mercer studies, and they want to start building schools this year. And we were basically like, we can't. We have to get them completed, then we have to get it prioritized, and we probably might be able to start fixing schools or building schools by the end of the year. And they wanted to make that sound like it was our fault, when in reality, it's not. We were just trying to get back to following our own laws.
Right.
We made the laws for us. We should obey them. We expect everybody else to obey every law we pass.
Senator Kinski, my senator, he came up with a memo, and it was a few years ago that he came out with it. And he explains why Capital Construction doesn't belong in the budget. So really, would you say that you were first following what your Senate colleagues wanted, and two, just following the procedure that we are supposed to follow for the budget?
That's exactly what I'd say. I think when the Senate did the budget, it was kind of heated.
A little bit.
We won most of the votes to cut by 16 or 17 to 14 or 15. So it was kind of divided of some wanted to spend and some didn't. And those of us who didn't want to spend because of laws or whatever money we had that we were trying to save, because we were really focused on property tax relief, and we're still fighting that right now. So you win some, you lose some, and we won it.
Yeah, you did. And there was a lot of things that I was kind of amazed that you guys cut it out of the budget. And, you know, a lot of University of Wyoming stuff. There was the gender studies program, the diversity, equity, and inclusion. There was tons of spending that you guys cut out. So one of the arguments, comments that I've heard in the press is that you guys just didn't want to negotiate, wouldn't negotiate with the House at all. Is that the case?
That is absolutely not the case. The first day, once we gave our proposal, our chairman, Senator Kinski, I don't think, if he didn't say this 24 times, he didn't say it once. He's like, look, we'll meet you in the middle. We'll work on this. We're willing to compromise. This is just where we're starting. So to say the Senate wouldn't negotiate, let's see what we get for a budget with a new conference committee.
Oh, boy. I'm actually kind of scared about to find out what that thing's going to look like.
I think we'll see what negotiating looks like.
Well, I don't know that there's going to be too much negotiation in there. It might just be, okay, let's do it.
I kind of lean to agree with you on that. And we're going to have the largest budget Wyoming's ever seen. We added $1.4 billion onto it from last year.
It's just an amazing amount of money. You know, it always fascinates me, Troy, that before I started coming down here, like $1 million, that was like an unimaginable amount of money to me. It still is. But you spend some time in this place, and all of a sudden, $1 million doesn't sound like that much money. and then 20 million, and then 200, and the numbers just are amazing in this place.
Yeah, we had some big ticket items on there that were $200 and $300 million.
It's crazy.
A lot of it's towards the Energy Commission.
Well, and that's another good point. Like, your district is one of the ones that helped build a lot of Wyoming schools.
They're definitely a recaptured district.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about before I let you go?
I think we beat this horse to death.
I think we did. Well, Troy, you're welcome back on the program anytime you like. I'm over in Gillette every once in a while. My sister lives there, so she's one of your constituents, by the way.
Hopefully she'll vote for me.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, you have a good day.
That'll do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good rest of your week, and I'm sure we'll talk tomorrow. But for now, from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics. Have a nice day, Martha.